Where did he start? He started on something spiritual, didn't he? He started by saying, I'm devoted to the Lord. The ark is out there. I mean, this is the representation of God to the people. And my Lord Joab, my leader, and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? Yeah, that was the idea David had. As thou livest, as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Wow. Where was his heart? His heart was with his people. His heart was with his buddies, with his brothers out in the field. That's where his commitment, his devotion, that's where his thought was. Again, it's not that he didn't love his wife. It's not that he wouldn't have enjoyed going there. He just, his heart was somewhere else. Remember when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem? And he stopped off in a town and they said, he's not paying attention to us. He don't want to be here. Why? Because his heart was set on Jerusalem. His mind was set on Jerusalem. He knew where he was going. He knew what was coming. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm not really overwhelmed by it or possessed, but I don't really want to use the word possessed, but that's what was on his mind. What's that? His zeal, okay. But I mean, that's where he was locked in. And Uriah is the same way. He's locked in. Look, there, his mind is what's going on over there. And so he didn't go home. I will not do this thing. Verse 12, David said to Uriah, oh, tarry here today also. Tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David called him, he did eat and drink before him and made him drunk. At evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. Well, that's not terrible, is it? Right? I mean, this is a warrior. Man, you give him a spot out front, he'll do a good job for you. That's not what he said, is it? Put him in the... But what did Uriah think? Uriah's been called to the king. Uriah has shown his loyalty and his devotion and his heart for Joab and all the men of war. And then he carries this letter back. It's really important, man. That's a letter from the king. Doesn't that honor? Man, you feel honored to do that. And this whole time in Uriah's mind, he's showing his devotion. He's showing his loyalty. He's doing the right thing. He's not taking a break from being a warrior. He's still a warrior, even though he's been called, you know, a couple of doors down from home, maybe. And he carries this letter with such honor, and he carries it back to the captain, Joab, and he hands him that letter. We didn't read the rest of the letter, but here's what it said. Retire you from him that he may be smitten and die. Put him out front and then pull back and let him be the only one there. What happened? David's not right with God. David has gotten lazy in his faith and lazy in his prayers. And we don't, I mean, it's not written here, but it shows. I mean, we don't have to have documentation that says, well, didn't go to church this day and didn't pray this day and didn't read his Bible this day. We don't need all that. I can see the end result and tell you what's happened. He's not right with God. Now he's gone from lust and involving other people in his sin to adultery and involving other people in his cover-up and then drunkenness. What does the Bible say about drunkenness? It says that we're not supposed to get our neighbor drunk. Doesn't the Bible say that? For what reason? That we may expose their nakedness, what the Bible says. But what does that mean? It means to take away that which covers and protects them. Why did David get him drunk? Because he was trying to get him to be loose in his thoughts and get carried away and go home and be with his wife. But he didn't do that. So now he's taking it another step farther to actually killing a man who was probably one of the most honorable men in Israel. Just based on what we see, David has wandered far from his faith. Verse 16, it came to pass when Joab observed the city, he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew that valiant men were. Again, let's pause just a second. Uriah thought, boy, I must have done something right. Right? You imagine what he's thinking? I must have done something. I mean, I went to the king's. I ate the king's food. Even when I left, he sent food with me. I went back the next day and enjoyed drinks with him. We had a good time. Then he's given me this very important letter to deliver to the captain, and I've done that. And now I've been given a place out front with all of these great warriors. Boy, this is wonderful. And that's his mind. That's where he is. Verse 17. The men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the service of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war to the king, if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say to thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Thebez? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite died also, is dead also. Verse 22, so the messenger went out, and he came and showed David all that Joab said had sent him for. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us, came out unto us in the field. We were upon them even to the entering of the gate, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Now pause just a second to think about that. It's one thing to hatch a plan, to conspire to commit sin, especially, you know, of this magnitude. But now he's just got confirmation that what he wanted to do is done. What happens to a man's heart when he does that, when he hatches this plan to have a man killed? And then in that moment, it's done. He's dead. What's your reaction? Right? Simon Peter betrayed denied Jesus three times, right? Jesus said, oh, you're going to do it. And Peter did it. And did it again. He did it again. And he was just continuing down that road and fear and protecting himself. And then you heard that rooster crow. And it occurred to him, I actually did what I didn't want to do. I've actually gone that far. Judas, the same course of events, sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then, what was the point? The point was to have him arrested, right? And then he got arrested. And he goes back and he says, guys, this is terrible. I never should have done this. And they said, that's got nothing to do with us. You did what you did. See, it's one thing to entertain sin in our minds, which we shouldn't do because it leads to this. But if we entertain it, we never actually sense the fulfillment of what occurs, the depth of what happens when we sin. David realized that when he got word, hey, she's pregnant. He realizes the depth of his sin. Uriah comes home, but doesn't go to his own house. David feels the depth of his sin. And now Uriah is dead. But you know what David didn't say? God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have never done. Oh, Lord, I have sinned. I can't take it back now, but what a terrible thing I've done. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. He said, well, you know, some people die. That happens. Isn't that what he said? We'll read it. Verse 25, David said to the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. For the sword devoureth one as well as another. That happens. He's so caught up in his cover-up that he has no remorse for the other men that died carrying out his plan. Casualties of war. Was there another word for it? What is it? Collateral damage. That's the one. It happens. Boy, he's gone, isn't he? He's far away in sin. He does not care. All he cares about is what? Self. Oh, he's not done yet, though. Verse 26, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Why? Because he was a great guy. I mean, they were married. That was a couple. That was a home. And he died. She's broken because of that. She'd sinned, yes, but she still, all that we could tell, loved her husband. Verse 27, when the mourning was past, in other words, you know, maybe a month or so, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. Can you imagine the headlines? Oh, what a great king. Look what he's done for this warrior's widow. Boy, he's brought her into his own house, and she was pregnant. He's going to raise that child as if it's his own. Boy, he's getting a lot of political clout out of this, isn't he? He's got to sit back at the end of this and think, well, I got away with that pretty good. Right? Not only did I get away with it, I'm actually getting some benefit out of this. And you know that's what sin will do. Sin will give us the idea, the delusion, that we not only got away with it, but we're better off because of it. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. We end the chapter there, but the story's certainly not over, is it? Any questions, comments? Let's take a break.